Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
Jesse Kelly Show! Let's have some fun! On a Friday, it is, of course, an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and it is the best day ever. I cannot get the smile off my face. It's going to be the best show we've ever done. Why? It's because of you and your insanely outstanding? That's way too redundant. You have great questions. The questions are all over the place. First, we're going to make fun of commie professors. Somebody wants to talk about the history of Gaza, Israel. He doesn't understand the whole thing. A lot of World War II talk. Pennsylvania primary results. Should Trump be worried about things like that there? Someone doesn't like all the forced DEI into movies. Food. How was the food in the Marine Corps? And so much more, including violent responses on the border. All that and so much more is coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Before we begin, though, I have already told Chris and Michael, I've already told them that I need some help on the technical end. Everyone who listens to this show knows that I'm 42 going on 82. I don't understand technology. It's not like I don't try. I do try. I don't know what all these buttons do. There's all these buttons and knobs and cords and cloud this and app that. I don't understand how things work. But I do know that Chris and Michael do know how things work. And so I need them to do something for me. You know how you get a notification on your phone whenever you get a email or a text message or something like that? You get a notification on your phone, right? And in case you're wondering what my, what my text notification is. You want to know what my text notification is? Let me see if I can do this here. Do you hear that? You hear that? Let me try to do that a little louder. This is my text notification when I get a text. That's the sound of a shotgun. It's wonderful. But I've decided I need a new one. I need a new one. What is it? This. This is what I need.
You are Hitler! You are having dogs!
I am a professor!
This is a professor, everyone!
I am a professor!
What is that? It's some Cal Berkeley dirtball commie professor who's taught generation after generation to hate this country. She decided to sally forth out to some new commie protest over something. I'm sure the Jews or Black Lives Matter or something like that. And she ended up sticking her big fat commie nose in some cop's face when he was trying to arrest somebody. And he puts her in an arm bar and gives her a face full of pavement. And as she goes down, she's shouting, "I'm a professor! I'm a professor of economics!"
Oh my god! You be more fascist! You are Hitler! You are having dogs!
I am a professor!
This is an Emory professor, everyone!
I am a professor of economics!
And Chris, Michael, just know, it's that specific part that I need. I am a professor of economics. And maybe you're sitting there saying, before I get to the questions, and I'm going to get to the questions and right now, maybe you're saying, "Jesse, that's terrible. Jesse, what about free speech? Jesse, I don't want to see anybody get pounded into the pavement by the cops or anyone like that." And look, I understand that. I do understand that. I get it. But do I need to remind you of something? I feel like I need to remind everyone listening of something. But just stay with me here. I'm just going to read this verbatim. This is a poll that was done by Rasmussen 2 years ago. This was in 2022. Okay. 59% of Democratic voters would favor a government policy requiring that citizens remain confined to their homes at all times except for emergencies if they refuse to get the COVID-19 vaccine. Nearly half of Democrat voters, 48%, think federal and state governments should be able to fine or imprison individuals who publicly question the efficacy of existing COVID-19 vaccines on social media, television, radio, or online. Your liberal Aunt Peggy wanted you arrested and thrown into a cage for your Facebook post questioning Pfizer. That is the country we live in. And so if those very same dirt balls are eating a mouthful of dirt today, screaming, "I'm a professor," don't expect an ounce of sympathy from me. Not even a little. You can argue free speech. You can argue this or that. And I argue this. If you are a dirty commie who has denied me my rights, wants to deny me my rights, you think I should be thrown in a dark hole for what I say, for the guns I own, for the car I drive, for the this, the that. Don't you dare turn to me now when some cop is burying your fat, ugly face in the cement. Don't you dare turn to me for sympathy. You're turning to the wrong place, Jack. Call your mommy. Daddy's fresh out of sympathy. All right? Now let us begin. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I just need it one more time. I swear, and then we'll start the show.
Oh my god! You be more fascist. You are Hitler. You are having dogs.
I am a professor.
This is an Emory professor, everyone.
Professor of economics. No, commie hag, you are the great destroyer. You push demonic things. You have dedicated your entire career to destroying the country I would die for. To this day, Even with all of its problems, I would die for this country. I have almost died for this country, and I would die for it. And you, commie hag, you not only hate it, that's bad enough. You have spent your entire life teaching young people to hate it. And now, for one day, you find yourself under the boot. All I can do is laugh. Now let's move on. In fact, speaking of which, as all this stuff is in the news now, let's begin here. Dear Jesse, the crayon-eating historian, I'm a simple man like you. I never really understood the hatred that exists in Gaza with the Palestinians. I think I need a historical perspective to better understand. When and how did all this anger start? Also, these college kids don't even know what they're protesting. Enlighten us all. His name is Ryan. Well, okay, first, let's make sure we're understanding this. 99% of the animals you see out there right now on college campuses, they don't know anything about Palestine, Israel, Judaism, Islam. They don't know anything about the state of Israel, the diaspora. They don't know anything really about the plight of the Gazans. They don't know anything about anything. Nothing. Zero. Zip. Zilch. Look, they admitted it. Remember this, girl?
And what would you say is the main goal with tonight's protest?
I think the goal is just showing our support for Palestine and demanding that NYU stops. I honestly don't know all of what NYU's doing.
Is there something that NYU's doing?
I really don't know. I'm pretty sure they're... Do you know what NYU's doing?
About what?
About Israel. Why are we protesting here?
Palestine will be free!
I wish I was more educated.
I'm not even...
That's my favorite. Hey, do you know why we're here? No, I don't. I mean, NYU, I don't. Hey, Susie, do you know? What? No, I mean, I don't know. I wish I would. They're just dirty street communists who want to burn down Western civilization because they've been taught to hate it. This is, remember, we know this. You know this. We talked about this forever. A lot of people are personalizing this right now. I'm a Jew and they're against me. I'm this and they're against me. If you're doing that, I understand that, I do, but you shouldn't be personalizing it. These people, they believe in symbols, in idols, really. We can make it about idols. Communists are amazing at creating idols. Idols for their people to throw tomatoes at. That would be, you know, Donald Trump. Idols everyone should worship, and they will demand worship. Do you know why there's a George Floyd statue in New York City today? Right now, you can go right down the street and sit down on the George Floyd statue. He's not even from New York City. What? He's a gangbanger from Houston and Minneapolis. Why is there a George Floyd statue in New York City? Because the communist, in order to move his cause forward, will dive on anything that will help him move his cause forward. This isn't some religious war or something about the Jews or Israel or Muslims or Palestine. This is just about the destruction of Western civilization. All these losers on campus today, they'll be on campus protesting again next week in a Black Lives Matter t-shirt. The cause is never the cause. So don't get lost in that. Most of these people don't even know what they're doing. Now, let's discuss the history of things there in a way that I'm sure will offend everyone. Nevertheless, it will be accurate. Before I do that, let's do this. Let's make sure we are all prepped up and fired up and ready to go. Do I seem a little amped up today? I am a little amped up today. I don't know why. I was just in a mood. I woke up, had a great night's sleep. I had a little lift session in today, took my male vitality stack from Chalk, and instead of the normal, I normally take 3 Tomcat 100s with my male vitality stack. Today I took 4. I don't know why. It's a Friday, but judging by the fact that I can hardly slow down my voice right now, maybe that was a mistake. Do you want to feel like $1 million like I do right now? A male vitality stack, gentlemen, or a female vitality stack, ladies. And you don't need, I don't want you to take my word for it. Just try it. Give it a couple months. Even 90 days, actually. Tell me how you feel. If you don't feel like I sound, end your subscription. Stop it and stop paying. You'll love it. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Go get some.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Just do keep in mind before we do a little history of all this stuff and then move on to, oh, should we be worried about Pennsylvania, World War II talk and all that stuff. Just remember, it's all about the revolution. Everything. It's all just about burning down America. There aren't separate communist groups. There aren't separate communist causes. The feminist you see in the streets today, she'll be wrapped in a pink feather boa at the LGBTQ rally tomorrow. She'll be at the Kill All the Jews rally the next day. She'll be at the Black Lives Matter rally the next day. And you can feel however you want to feel about any one of those issues. But Jesse, I am kind of a feminist. But Jesse, I do hate the Jews. But Jesse, black people are oppressed in America. I don't care how you feel about the individual issues. That's not important for what we're talking about. What is important for what we're talking about is that you understand the animals you see in the streets don't give a crap about the issue. They give a crap about burning down Western civilization. In fact, burning down America. Remember, around the globe, not just in America, around the globe, this generation of leftists has been taught that America is the height of all evil. And burning it down is the chief good. Don't believe me? Here's a drag queen.
Today what we're gonna do is we're gonna shout Free Palestine. Can I hear that?
Free Palestine!
If you're a drag queen and you know it, shout
Free Palestine!
That's a drag queen in front of kids. But Jesse, doesn't he understand? If he went into Gaza, they'd chop his penis off and throw him off a roof. No, he doesn't understand, and he doesn't care. He's not a drag queen. He's a dirty communist trying to burn down Western civilization. Now, let's discuss the history, at least briefly, of the region, because I don't have 19 hours. And I mean, I know a little bit about it. I do know a bit about it, but I don't want to claim to be an expert on it. Other people would know more. But here is the deal. First, we have to go all the way back. Just stay with me. So remember, and you may not believe these things. Keep in mind, I don't give a crap if you believe these things or not. This is the history of the region and the history that many people do believe. Whether or not you believe it is not important. That's what I mean when I say I don't give a crap. I don't care whether you believe this or not. This is the history of the region. All right, so the Jews are held captive in Egypt. They're held captive in Egypt. They're being enslaved in Egypt. They're on the outs. They're treated terribly. By the way, you know those pyramids you see? Most people believe today those were actually built by the Jews. They're like, I don't know how they built them. If you look at the construction of the pyramids versus the things the Israelites were building back then, it really tracks. The Jews were probably the slaves they used to build the pyramids. So there you go. So they're slaves in Egypt, right? They're being treated terribly. They're praying, God, deliver us, God, deliver us. Okay, so Moses comes. You know the story. Delivers us, let my people go. All that stuff, the plagues, parts the Red Sea. Well, God parts the Red Sea. Moses lifted his hands, parts the Red Sea. My goodness, that would have been cool to see. They walk through the Jews. Okay, the Israelites are now walking free in the wilderness. They're walking free in the wilderness, and they're heading towards the promised land. I'll fast forward through a bunch of things, but just understand, for them, for Jewish people, that is the promised land. For them, that land was promised to them by God, by Yahweh on high. Jesse, I don't believe that. I'm an atheist. I don't care. You're not understanding. That's what they believe. That's what people believe. That's what I believe. But it doesn't matter. So that's the promised land, right? So they get there. They end up getting it denied, it, whatever. They end up taking Israel. Okay, they have Israel. Now, they were for a long time a juggernaut in that region. And they were always fighting wars against Philistines. It's so many other of the ancient peoples, you would probably call them, in that region. Fighting wars. Eventually the kingdom splits up, but whatever. Fast forward to Roman times, all right? We're out of ancient Israeli times. Fast forward to Roman times. Pompey Magnus is, most people don't actually know who he is, which is really, really sad. But if you know anything about Roman history, you know Pompey Magnus. Pompey Magnus was this legendary general in Roman history and was, honestly, there was nothing he didn't accomplish. He's not not talked about that much because at the end he lost to Julius Caesar. I mean, there are bigger black marks on your resume than losing to Julius Caesar. Everybody lost to friggin' Julius Caesar. He's Julius friggin' Caesar. Anyway, Pompey Magnus, he comes into Jerusalem and decides, I like it here. I think I'll stay. And so the Romans conquer Israel. Now, Israel had been broken up and they'd been, you know, the Babylonians, there's all kinds of history there, but the Jews did own that region when the Romans came across them, and the Romans decided, okay, this is ours now. Now, the Romans, remember, colonization, it's a word that's treated always badly today, but there are many, 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 many different forms of colonization, and I personally, this is just a personal belief, we're out of facts now, this is a personal belief, I personally don't believe it's always wrong and evil. It certainly can be wrong and evil. If you look at, I mean, gosh, there are so many examples of it. You know what? We'll skip past those. But it certainly can be wrong and evil. But the Romans, they had a different way to conquer. And I'm not so sure it was the wrong way to conquer. I'll explain in a moment. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. Don't forget, you can email the show during the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We'll get to Biden's newest lies in a little while. We're doing a whole bunch of history stuff. Someone asked about the history of Israel, Gaza, whatever. So if you're looking for more background on that, you missed the segment, you got to go back and download the podcast of it. That's fine. So let's go to, right now we're in the Romans era. So the Romans come in, they decide, I like Israel, I think I'll stay. Well, remember, colonization takes different forms. For instance, King Leopold II, he's a famous king, famous for his brutality of Belgium. He was a king of Belgium. What did they do? They colonized the Congo. Okay, they wanted some rubber and some ivory and things like that from the Congo. Not that bad, right? It is when you find out he murdered half the population. There are different ways to colonize things. Colonization has taken many different forms. Conquest has taken many different forms. The Romans had a different way to conquer people. The Romans believed in this. Hey, we are going to come in, and this is ours now. And we will administer it. We will have a governor of some kind over this area. However, we actually don't want constant rebellion. We don't want to completely eradicate the people who are living here. And remember, this is not because the Romans were nice people. It was more about profit than anything else. Hey, you guys have a good thing going here. You have all kinds of goods that you make here. Israel was, they made a lot of great things there. Rome said, hey, you do your thing. And you know what? You worship your God. This is pre-Christ, so it's just Judaism back then. He said, like, hey, you worship your God. You do your thing. Just don't give us problems. And we are going to be in charge. Pay your taxes and we'll all be fine. Now, I don't want to make it all sound rosy and nice. When the Romans needed to fight and they were always fighting someone, they are going to come conscript your guys. Hey, Israel, we need 10,000 young men. Now, arm, let's go. So, look, it wasn't all wonderful. I don't want to make it sound like that. But they tried to do that wherever they conquered. Sometimes it didn't work and they had to exterminate everybody. Something, you know, it took different forms. Israel, the Jews in Israel proved to be a nightmare for the Romans. They were just rebelling all the time. And I want to emphasize that they're actually really fascinating little wars I should do. I've done one of these wars, one or two of these before, but these were not little mini things where, hey, Romans, there's 100 Jews in the town square and they're pretty mad today. We're talking armies attacking Roman armies and winning on occasion. Not winning the war, but that, you know, you would have 20,000 Jews ambush 10,000 Romans in a pass and wipe them out. So they're creating problems, rebellion after rebellion after rebellion. Now, the Romans were understanding until they weren't understanding anymore. Finally, there was this huge, huge Jewish uprising, and the Romans had had friggin' enough. And they came in and they said, now, pause for a moment. Remember, at this point in time, Judaism is a very regional religion. Could you find Jews in other parts of the world, including in places like Rome? Yes, of course you could. Very, very tiny, teeny tiny pockets. It was that's where it was. The Romans decided, guess what? None of you are living here anymore. None of you. The ones we haven't killed or enslaved or crucified, you must leave. And the Romans realized, and they weren't necessarily wrong about this, because of the Jewish religious belief that their everything for them was tied to that specific area. Remember, this was the promised land. If you read the Old Testament or you're at all familiar with it, you understand it's not just like a theoretical thing. Like, they have locations. This is the location where Armageddon will be. This is the location. But there are specifics there. They have a religious connection to that area. So the Romans said, that's what we have to break. That's why we can't totally subjugate you. So guess what? We are severing the bonds. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Goodbye. And that is known as the diaspora, the Jewish diaspora. What happened was they scattered the Jews to the four corners of the world. Poof, be gone. Now, this is a couple thousand years ago, right? This is pre-Christ. Now, fast forward. We are fast forwarding a lot, okay? But Jews then settled, obviously, in all kinds of other parts of the world tons of them in Europe, tons of them in Russia. I know Russia's part of Europe, but that's really weird. I always consider it just part of Asia, but Russia, Europe, all these things, the Jews settle in these places. Now, there are all kinds of background things I could go into here about why there was tension there. There is a lot of religious tension there between Christians or Christians and Catholics and Jews for the longest time. And that's a very obvious thing. Jews don't believe Jesus is Christ. For Christians, that's everything. So if you have this group of people who deny your one thing, that's going to create tension. You know, religious tensions are not abnormal. Cultural tensions, racial tensions, these things happen. So that was a problem. Jews went into banking more. You know, it's a funny stereotype, something I give Chris crap about today, but that was one of their outstanding professions, one of the professions for it. Well, when Europe goes through a depression, who comes to your home to take over your house because you haven't made the payments? Ah, it's the Jewish guy up the road. So that created problems. And they were oftentimes subjected to these pogroms or pogroms, however you want to put it, where the local leader, let's say, all right, I'm in Houston. So, you know what? We'll make it about New York because that's where so many Jewish people are right now. Actually, Jewish people listening to the sound of my voice. It would be like Eric Adams stepping up today and saying this. Hey, this crime's really bad here. Really, really bad. I figured out who's at fault. It's the Jews. I just want to let in. Look, you laugh. Chris is laughing, but that's how they did it back then. They'd put it in the newspaper. The mayor came out. There was a woman was violated in this part of town. We got word it was some Jews who did it. You whip up a mob, you send them over, and it's called a pogrom. They'd walk into the Jewish part of town, beat them, rape them, kill them. Okay, it was really, really bad. And Jewish people around the globe began a movement to move back. To go back to the land. Remember, it's a religiously significant thing to Jewish people. We want to go back. Now, there is so much that went into this, and I don't have 19 hours to do this, but there was everything from, hey, let's just kind of start moving back there. Let's start lobbying governments in America, in Britain, in France. Let's start lobbying governments to help support us moving back there. Now, let's pause for a moment. What is there? Meaning, they've been gone for a long time. Who's there now? It was a relatively undeveloped area, but the people who you would call Palestinians, and many of them called themselves Palestinians at the time, they had moved in there. Now we're going to have a conversation. Again, this gets wildly offensive, and I don't care. But they weren't developed. They were just really a pastoral people. They were Islamic, but they were farmers for the most part. There were no major, gigantic, you wouldn't have seen major industry or anything like that there. Think of them as if you would, as you would think of an American Indian, an Aborigine in Australia. If you want to go further back, a Celt in Gaul when Caesar was moving through. An unsophisticated tribal people. That's who was there. They didn't have the technology. They didn't have the wealth. They didn't have the arms. They were there farming. Now, they were there. There's no question about it. And they thought it was theirs. They were not an advanced society at all. Now, the Jews around the world had spent decades, had spent hundreds of years advancing, especially economically. And they were using that influence in various governments around the world to help the cause. Hey, Zionism is what it's known as today. Hey, let us go back. Let us go back. We want to go back. All right. I promise I will finish this up and we'll move on to other things next. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, dealing with and we're doing a little history lesson right now on the whole Gaza-Israel thing. Someone asked, wanted a little primer on it to keep everyone up to date. I'm not going to recap everything I've already gone over. If you missed that, go download the podcast. iHeart, Google, Spotify, iTunes. It's totally free. All you got to do is go click subscribe on iTunes. It just downloads right to your phone. So go enjoy it. Now, back to where we were. Diaspora happens. Jews around the world want to start coming back to Israel. There are people there, tribal people, I would say. Tribal is probably not the right way to put it. Not technologically advanced. Like I said, think about them like American Indians or Aborigines or Celts in Gaul or anywhere tribal peoples have been conquered by a more advanced society. So what happens? Well, they start inching back in. Jews from around the world, Zionists, or they're known as, start moving back in and moving back in and moving back in. They're buying up property. They're supporting each other. They're building schools. They're, you know, real believers in that old saying, possession is 9/10 of the law. In case you're wondering, there are all kinds of tensions going on right about now in Israel. The people who are there, the tribal peoples, the Palestinians are upset, start pushing back. Starts to be all kinds of street violence and riots. Really, really, it's fascinating history to it. Now, well, we're talking World War I era we're discussing here. Post-World War I is when this really, really picked up. Jews are moving in, but there's tension there, and they're not sure what to do. And then World War II happens. World War II happens. I don't exactly have to give you the heads up on that. The Holocaust is one of those headline events from World War II when you exterminate 8 million people in death camps that generally creates some headlines and creates some obvious international sympathy. Now, that ramped up the move back, and frankly, it prompted most of the world to say, okay, they're very clearly... We're on board now. We want to go. Let's just designate this place as theirs. Now that brings me to what we've talked about before. And then we'll move on and we'll talk about some other things. They moved in. And there were all kind of tensions there. We're talking, they're killing the Israelis at the time. They were killing British troops to get Britain to finally move all the way out and just finally hand it to them. With mail bombs and stuff like that. It's real, real dark. Terrorism on every side. It's real dark history. But finally, they get it. But they didn't do it all the way. And you've heard me lament this endlessly. The dangers of half conquest. This is what the Romans didn't do. This is what the Mongols didn't do. It's what the Ottomans didn't do. You don't conquer somebody halfway. The Jews, when they reconquered Israel, and they did, I don't care about your emails, they conquered it again. They were sent away. They conquered it again in their own way, but they didn't conquer it all the way. Well, I mean, we do kind of have to carve out a little something for these people down south. Well, not only do you have huge religious tension there because the Palestinians are Muslim and you're Jewish, you've allowed an enemy who you just conquered and ran out of his land, you allowed him to sit on your border. Conquer the rest of it. It should all have, if you're going to conquer something, do it all the way. I yell at my own countrymen for this too, the Americans, for how we treated American Indians. And you know, I'm actually pro-American Indian. I think they're so cool. The Blackfeet, the Cherokees, and the Sioux. I've geeked out on that stuff my whole life. Still, we screwed up with this whole reservation thing. No reservation. We won. You lost. You're an American now. Go to school and speak English. That's real conquest. Half conquest doesn't work. It ends up being crueler to every side. Every side. Every side suffers from it. Are American Indians better off today? Have you been to a reservation? Are they better off where they are now than if they had been fully assimilated? Same thing they're going through in Israel. That's the history of it. And now you have, since you have conquered it, now you have people on your border who will one day just get on some paragliders and show up and start butchering your women because you conquered something halfway. That is, boy, is that the most dumbed down, simplified history of it. And if it fascinates you at all, go do a bunch of reading on it from every perspective you can possibly find. Consume all the information you can. But you'll find that little primer on it will probably get you most of the way there, at least as far as the high points go. Now you have a situation where the entire Muslim world, remember the Muslim world is much more unified, especially in that region, and they're used to being unified. They are they used to be all unified under the Ottoman Empire, but they're used to being unified. Is probably not the right way to put it, given the tensions in the Muslim world between the Shiites and the Sunnis. But they're used to being unified, at least that the Jews shouldn't be there. They believe the Jews should not be there. Now, some of that spills over into America. Most of America that you see today, most of what you see, the tensions here, like I said, it's just dirty commies trying to burn down the country. But we do have a bunch of Jews in America. We have a bunch of Muslims in America. And some of that religious tension spills over as well. And there's your little history on it. Now, let's talk about the Pennsylvania primary, because that probably is something worth looking at. Then some World War II stuff. Man, we got all kinds of history today. In fact, let's do this really quickly. Joe Biden, I am starting to think, this is just a theory, and I'm not even sure how strongly I feel about it, but I'm starting to think they're not going to allow him to talk anymore, or very much more, during a presidential election. I really genuinely am. If they're really going to run Joe Biden, and I'm still not convinced they are, I still think they're going to run this guy out. They're going to find a way to run this guy out at the convention. No, Chris, I know there's no time for the nomination process, but you can do whatever you want at the convention. At the convention, Joe Biden can say, I can't do it, I feel sick, and then you can nominate anyone you want. So I'm still not convinced they're going to run him. But if they are going to run him, he is deteriorating so fast that I'm not totally sure they're going to let him talk very much more. I'll explain what I mean with his latest and greatest from today. Hang on.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.